For the most part, New Jersey is considered a blue state. It has gone for a Democrat in every presidential race since 1992, and it hasn't elected a Republican senator since 1972. It was also one of the first states to offer civil unions to same-sex couples. And New Jersey also has some of the strongest gun laws in the country. So why is a pro-Second Amendment movement growing here? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Hamena Kandi is a reporter for WHYY. She's been looking into this new movement in New Jersey.
Governor Phil Murphy takes office in 2018. 6 months into Murphy's term, it's June, and he signs a package of 6 gun control bills.
It sends a strong and clear message to our president, to the Republican leadership in Congress, and to the corporate gun lobby. We are going to be a leader in the fight for common sense gun safety laws.
At that point, the country's still reeling from the Parkland, Florida shooting. But just the week after Phil Murphy signs this package of gun laws, New Jersey experiences its own mass shooting at a beloved art event.
There was chaos in Trenton, New Jersey overnight when bullets started flying at an all-night arts festival.
One suspect was killed, 22 people were injured, some of them critically. And when reporters talked to Murphy during an appearance at a Baptist church in Trenton, he doubled down on making gun safety a priority in the state.
It's yet another reminder of the senseless gun violence. Even having passed, even having signed 6 stringent gun laws last week, we see this. So we know we're getting stronger and better, but we're a long way from cracking the back of this senselessness.
Tell me about some of these gun control laws that Murphy has signed.
In that first round of restrictions, there was this bill that banned armor-piercing ammunition. This is ammunition that could pierce through up to 48 layers of bulletproof material. Mm. There were also changes made to the magazine size people could have. So instead of a magazine that holds 15 rounds, now you can only have a 10-round magazine. But one of the most controversial bills involves the extreme risk protective orders. This is what's often referred to as the red flag law. In New Jersey and in other states, it basically allows family members or law enforcement to ask a judge to take away a person's guns and ammunition if they feel that that person is a threat to themselves or someone else.
How have these changes been received?
Predictably, it depends who you ask. There are groups that welcome the added safety measures, including Ceasefire New Jersey. For example, Reverend Robert Moore, who helps run the group, says it's because of these added measures that New Jersey has one of the lowest per capita gun death rates in the country.
I do think that the gun safety laws that we've been working on are proven. They work.
By the same token, you have pro-gun groups that are really upset by these measures. Murphy has seen pushback from activists in more conservative parts of the state. For example, for this story, I met Josh Finical.
I believe in the Constitution of the United States, believe in the Second Amendment. I'm a firearm owner.
He's a Cumberland County resident. Parts of that county are really rural and beautiful. They're known for birding, its hiking trails, also its fishing. Mm-hmm. Finical lives in Downe Township. He didn't want to say too much about himself, but he describes himself as a guy who grew up around guns.
Father taught me to hunt. My grandfather served in the U.S. Army during World War II.
And he was really upset by these laws?
Yes. He makes the argument that criminals are not going to follow some of these laws. Like, they're not going to follow the magazine restrictions, which puts people who follow the law, you know, the way he does, at a disadvantage.
The criminals out on the street are going to have whatever they want. Why do I have to be limited to 10? What does that solve? What problem does that solve? Limiting my rights as a law-abiding citizen.
He also takes issue with the red flag law. For instance, he says, having just met a person, you could call the authorities and tell them, I think you, Annette, are a risk to yourself or others.
And I can red flag you. Police will come to your house in the middle of the night, knock on your door without a warrant, ask you to surrender all your firearms based on me simply saying, I think this person is a problem.
But that's not actually an accurate representation of the law. Like we said earlier, you can only ask the court to have somebody's guns and ammunition confiscated if you're a family member or law enforcement. Though Josh has always been pro-gun, he's never been much of an activist. Except after seeing Murphy sign bill after bill after bill that he feels infringes on his, you know, constitutional given right, at one point he just had enough and he said, I'm going to get involved.
I think there's been kind of an awakening amongst people like myself that now realize, hey, it's time to stand up and do something.
So what did Josh do?
Like a lot of people, he turned to the internet to find other people like him, and then he tried to influence his local government. Josh created a Facebook page of Second Amendment supporters and encouraged them to sign letters expressing their support for the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. And he told people to send these letters to county freeholders. Then he and some 40 supporters who are all part of this Facebook group packed a monthly Cumberland County freeholders meeting.
2020-153 is a resolution regarding the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States.
And they gave speeches supporting the Second Amendment, and they asked them to pass a resolution that said the county respects the Second Amendment and essentially create a sanctuary for guns.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh's group had a friendly audience. The resolution passed in a unanimous vote. No member of the public opposed what they were asking.
And I hope it moves even farther after this. This is a good start, but let's keep working on it. Thank you.
And the freeholders actually thanked Josh and the group for bringing the issue to the county's attention. The freeholders also expressed some frustration with how Trenton was using its power to continue restricting gun rights, essentially.
So, Jimena, you had mentioned that Josh asked the freeholders to make Cumberland County a sanctuary for guns. What does that mean exactly, a sanctuary for guns?
The sanctuary portion of the movement's name is a reference to sanctuary cities, which you may know as when local governments don't cooperate with federal authorities trying to enforce immigration law. This sort of co-opts the term, but for guns.
Mm-hmm.
So this resolution is largely symbolic. The folks in Cumberland County know that they cannot supersede state laws. They know that they can't ignore the red flag law. They know that law enforcement can't ignore limits on magazine clips. In fact, it's being a little cautious, and it doesn't include the word sanctuary at all. But this particular resolution encourages continued dialogue with officials in Trenton, and it basically hopes that the legislature will not continue passing these laws that people like Josh view as infringing on their Second Amendment rights. Cumberland County isn't the only county to have passed a resolution like this. It's actually the sixth one in New Jersey. Hmm. And more than 30 municipalities in the state have done the same.
Hmm.
When we come back, a new pro-gun movement in New Jersey and across the country.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall, talking to WHYY reporter Jimena Condi about New Jersey's strict gun laws and the backlash they've received.
It's called the New Jersey Second Amendment Sanctuary Movement. It's really a grassroots effort. The people involved in this movement say that the NRA is not funding it. It has no real role, though some of the people leading the local chapters have been longtime gun rights activists, going to gun rallies across the country in an effort to stop these states from passing these restrictive gun measures. These activists have been finding each other through social media, organizing, and getting their friends involved. They form these Facebook groups where they can share letter templates and resources. They're essentially trying to build community and also showcase that, hey, you know, there are all these groups of people who support the Second Amendment and are against what Governor Phil Murphy is doing. And New Jersey isn't the only state that is pushing back on what they find to be restrictive gun measures. This is happening in the state of New York. This is happening in Georgia. This is happening across the river in Pennsylvania. And this movement is probably most visible in Virginia.
Why Virginia?
Virginia recently turned blue. In November of last year, the Senate, House, and Governor's Mansion were taken over by Democrats. The governor proposed stricter gun laws on the books, including a red flag law, universal background checks, and gun rights activists started to push back.
In January, more than 20,000 gun owners turned out in protest at the state capitol in Richmond.
They're not going to take away your rights!
And nearly every Virginia county has voted to declare itself a Second Amendment sanctuary for guns in opposition to the new laws.
The difference here is that some places in Virginia aren't passing these laws symbolically. In some places, they really are creating a sanctuary for gun owners. They're saying our local law enforcement is not going to enforce any future gun laws that are passed down, you know, at the federal or state level that we think infringe on our Second Amendment right.
Wow. Can they do that?
No, for the same reason Josh and other activists in New Jersey can't. It's just that activists in New Jersey are keeping this more in mind. They still think it's worth doing, though, because it's a good way for them to build momentum. And they think that if they pass resolutions like this in every county, they'll be able to send a really strong message, and they'll have done some great grassroots organizing in the process. That could lay the foundation to potentially bigger action, like challenging some of the laws Governor Murphy has put forward in court.
So, Jimena, how are state officials responding to these sanctuary movements?
State Attorney General Gurbir Graywal has said he's worried that these resolutions will confuse people, that people will think a resolution means, okay, I don't have to follow state or federal gun regulations, which is obviously not the case. He says if there is confusion, that could put law enforcement and just regular residents at risk with potentially deadly consequences. Governor Phil Murphy is doubling down on making gun control a priority.
I also call once again for you to join me in raising the cost of handgun permits for the first time since 1966.
In his most recent budget address, he proposed increasing gun application fees.
It's still just $2 to get a handgun permit. It's still more expensive to buy a dog license. That's entirely backwards. Let's fix this.
Which is something these activists don't think should exist in the first place. They don't think you should be charged in order to exercise your Second Amendment right. So it would seem that these Second Amendment sanctuary activists have their work cut out for them.
Well, we'll be watching to see what happens, Jimena. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
That was WHYY reporter Jimena Condi. And I just want to encourage you guys to hang in there. In the coming days, we'll be sharing more stories about the coronavirus pandemic's effect on the Philly region. Coming up tomorrow, how you're coping.
You know, everyone that I've talked to in the past couple of days, this is all anyone's talking about. And it's hard to think about anything else. It's hard to just go about our daily lives. And I don't know that that's very good for us.
The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. Hit me up on Twitter @AnnetteJH. Be well. Talk to you tomorrow.